What is up, my love? Welcome to the Love Stands Here podcast. I'm your host, Megan Brianna from lovestandshere.com, and I'm a life coach, a certified eating psychology coach, but most of all, I'm just a girl who really loves Jesus and has spent a lot of time learning how to not only discover my worth through him, but also how to cultivate the characteristics that we're called into in order to live a healthy and purposeful life of love and service. My friend, living in the world can be really tough, and all too often we're taught beliefs and given messages by a broken society that make us feel like we're never enough and our worth is only skin deep. But I'm here to share some good news. Your worth is not in the world, but in God's beautiful word. So if you're looking for encouragement to live and love better, you're in the right place. Make sure to rate, subscribe, and share with your friends if you feel called, and I hope you enjoy today's episode. Love ya. Hello, friend. Happy July. How are you? Is there anything that I can be praying about for you? If so, please feel free to email me hello@lovestandshere.com. Or message me on Instagram, love_stands_here. I would be so happy to pray for you. And I felt very strongly like I needed to open with that because I know over here in my own little corner of the world, I'm so blessed and God is here and he's providing for me. And I'm surrounded by love and I'm safe. I have so many things to be grateful for. But I still have so many ups and downs because I don't know about you, but I'm a heart-centered person. And I feel other people's energy so deeply. And I have such a heart for people that it's very hard for me not to grieve everything that the world is going through right now. So it is very up and down. So if you're feeling that too, please know you're not alone. And like I said, I'd be happy to pray for and with you about it. Today, if I sound a little tired, it's because I am. I don't want to get too much into it. It might be a topic for another podcast, but as I've been open about here, I'm in a closed season of singleness and I'm trying to just focus my energy on God, and that has required a lot of sacrifice. And it's good, and I'm so thankful, and it's not without many blessings. You know, it's not like I'm over here in constant suffering. It's hard because I'm denying my flesh a lot, but I'm doing it for my future self. And I know it's building my character and it's building my strength. It's getting me closer to God. And that's the most important thing in the world to me. So that's why I'm doing it. And, you know, I struggled with codependency for so long and I'm still healing from that. And so choosing to step into a closed season of singleness for the first time is just another level of me healing from that. And when you make decisions like that and you decide that obedience and discipline are going to be your main focus, it brings up a lot of things that have kind of been hidden that you still need to work through. And so it's just a lot of emotion. It's a lot of working through things that I didn't know I still needed to work through. So with all of that happening, you want to turn to coping mechanisms because that's how you've dealt with emotions in the past. And now I understand that it's not coping that I need to turn to. It's not food. It's not alcohol. It's not men. It's God. And so I'm building a practice of doing that. And that's hard too, because my entire life I understood dealing with emotions by finding something of the world to use to cope. And so now I'm trying to turn to prayer instead and talking to the Lord and fellowship and worship and all of those beautiful things. But it takes practice, because everything does. Everything good takes practice and it takes discipline. So with that said, the 4th of July, first of all, if you have served in the military or if you are serving, thank you so much. I appreciate your service. My heart goes out to you. I love you so much. My intention with celebrating the 4th of July in the past has not been so noble. Just like most people, we're taught, obviously, to thank those of you who have served. But even more than that, it's just been an excuse to party. And of course, it's in the name of freedom that we do this. And it's all celebration. It's getting together with family and friends. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it. So that's not what I'm saying here. What I'm trying to get across is that my perspective is different based on my own experiences with 4th of July and how I used to celebrate it and just wisdom I've gained since I started walking this path with God. And now, like, I look at it and I think it was like, I don't know. I've seen so many pictures and so many like posts in the 4th of July hashtag on Instagram where instead of making it a big deal that we're thankful for other people and their service, it's like, let me take a picture of my red, white, and blue bikini. And let me take a picture of myself in American flag board shorts. And let's take pictures of ourselves completely wasted. And it's really interesting to me. And again, I'm not condemning anybody. I'm just thinking about the way that I used to celebrate and the things that I used to do. And it's interesting to me because freedom looks so different to me than it used to. And ironically, the freedom that I found in Christ has delivered me from that kind of behavior. So I was a slave to partying. I was a slave to the world telling me that that was the way that I was supposed to behave and that was normal. And just using every holiday as an excuse to have fun instead of celebrating it for what it actually was. And now I look back at myself in those situations, and to be honest, it's still hard. There's still a part of me, I feel, that is somewhat connected to that because I see this stuff, and I do. My human gets FOMO. Like, I see this stuff, and I'm like, man, I'm just sitting at home by myself, you know, trying to stay grounded in God, and I see all of this happening, and I live on a river and don't have a boat. And there are like so many boats flying by. And again, all of this stuff is great. There's nothing wrong with it. But I think for me, with the way I used to party and with the people I used to surround myself with in that space, it was never actually about celebrating freedom and being thankful for those of you that have served. Of course, we would say it, but would we really think twice about it? Would we really, instead of going and just getting drunk, be willing to go and actually thank veterans or spend time listening to veterans? You know, these are all things that I think about now when I think about celebrating days like this, where when I was younger, when I was in my 20s and before I knew Jesus, it was just another day for me to ironically celebrate my bondage to the things that I was a slave to. You know, I was celebrating freedom, thinking that I was free because I could do these things, when in reality, I was a slave to these things. I was a slave to my body and my appearance. I was a slave to trying to be attractive to men. I was a slave to drinking. I was a slave to partying. I was a slave to all of these things. And here I was celebrating my freedom. And I didn't realize at that time that I wasn't free at all. And I think we get that confused in this country, especially where we think we're free because we can do whatever we want. But what I was actually celebrating is being free to do whatever my sinful self wanted, whatever my flesh wanted. And I now know that that was bondage. I wasn't free at all. I was a slave to the partying. I was a slave to my body, you know, all the things that I mentioned before. And now I'm actually free because I know myself at a deeper level and it's not about the surface anymore. And with all of that comes my new desire to actually want to celebrate these holidays for what they actually are and not make them about partying. And one more time, I will say again, celebration is fine. You do what you want to do to celebrate holidays and what you feel is fitting. That's perfectly fine. Again, just sharing where I'm coming from the way that I used to celebrate. But I'm still battling my flesh. So days like yesterday, the 4th of July, I was sitting at home and I was trying to stay grounded in God, but my flesh was still screaming at me. and wanting me to party. But also, it's funny because in my head, I was like, that doesn't even sound good anymore. So I'm constantly in this tug of war. Like, it's so weird. It's so hard to explain. If you know, you know. Where I know what it feels like to be connected to God, and that is the best feeling in the world. And it's completely opposite of being connected to the world. But when you're learning, you know, when you're going through the process and you're unlearning all of the things of the world and you're practicing that, you still have to go through the back and forth. And I'm not quite sure that ever ends. I think it probably just gets a little bit easier to know how to ground yourself in God, but I don't know. With that said, with all of that said, today I want to talk about celebration and how important it is to make sure that we understand what we're actually celebrating and that we're looking beyond the surface. And this is in light of, you know, the celebrating 4th of July, but this topic actually came to me after continuing to just think about the Roe v. Wade situation. And I'm not going to get too specifically into that, but just in general, how important it is to start digging below the surface when we're addressing an issue rather than just treating it at symptom level. So to give you some context, I want to back up a little bit and just share, hopefully quickly, the process of my healing. So at the end of 2017, I had been a health and fitness coach online with a network marketing company for about a year and a half because I was really interested in health and fitness and holistic health after, in my early 20s, I really struggled with PMDD, which is a really severe form of PMS. Like, you get severe depression every month and just the symptoms are a million times worse. And I was put on medication for it and it actually made it worse. And I struggled with anxiety and I was put on medication for it and it made it worse. So that kind of triggered my passion for learning how to heal in more natural ways through exercise and eating. And so I started getting into that, and I also developed a passion for psychology after my first toxic, abusive relationship in my early 20s left me completely blindsided. And like, I had no idea that people could actually behave in the way that a narcissist behaves. So my early 20s were, and my mid 20s were all about, you know, health and fitness and, you know, more the physical and psychological stuff. But at the end of 2017, after I had been with that health and fitness company for a while, you know, they are very adamant about you reading personal development books, which was great. It was great. I learned a lot. I learned a lot about myself. And there was this one book I read talking about, actually, it was kind of at the beginning of this self-love movement. So there were a lot of books coming out on self-love, and I had read a couple. And that's kind of when I started to look at myself and the world from a more spiritual and emotional perspective, or understanding the world and myself from a more spiritual and emotional perspective. And so at the end of 2017, I realized that while I was in great shape and I knew how to eat and I knew how to exercise for my body and I knew how to do mindset work, I was still struggling tremendously with self-worth, body dysmorphia, and disordered eating patterns. So I found the Institute for the Psychology of Eating online, and I decided to step away from the health and fitness company that I was in because I realized it was an unhealthy container for me and what I was struggling with. And I realized I needed to go deeper. And a lot of those spaces are just very surface. It's about what you can do to make your body better. And don't get me wrong, there are a lot of amazing people in those spaces that are doing deeper work. But for me, it just wasn't as deep as I needed it to be. And so this Institute for the Psychology of Eating, it helped me start to understand myself from a spiritual perspective and start to understand my emotions and how they weren't something that I needed to run away from. But the most important lesson I learned from this certification program, it was an 8-month certification program, was that what the world had taught me about being a human and having a body was wrong and it was all superficial. And so that was where my journey of unlearning a lot of the things that I had learned about health and about being a human started. Since I am talking about my passion for health and wellness and approaching this whole being human thing from a holistic perspective in this episode, I want to take a minute to share something with you that I just recently fell in love with this year. And if you are not somebody that struggles with nutrition, if you're not interested in health and wellness or nutrition or any of that in any capacity, feel free to skip this message. I have struggled with binge and emotional eating in my life. I don't know if you can relate, but it's definitely something that has been a huge thing for me. And one of the most impactful things I have learned in my healing from it all is that we can build much longer lasting, healthy eating habits if we are more focused on introducing healthier things into our diets than we are restricting the unhealthy things. Doing it this way, the healthy stuff tends to crowd out the unhealthy, and we even start to become more excited about nutrient-dense food as we start to experience the benefits of our new habits. So this new thing that I fell in love with is called Kenko, and it's a company that makes being healthy a little bit easier. I don't know about you, but I struggle getting in an adequate amount of fruits and veggies into my diet, and I can absolutely feel it in my energy, sleeping habits, and mood when I don't. Kenko makes it easy. With their monthly subscription, I get 30 carefully blended and super yummy smoothie packets that each contain 2.5 servings of fruits and veggies. And the fun thing is that I get to pick from 13 different flavors each month based on the benefits I want to achieve, like energy, focus, immunity, skin health, etc., or really just whatever I'm feeling. One of my favorites is actually, it's called the Beet Reds, and it's a packet that contains apples, strawberries, and beetroot, and I love it for post-workout. The ingredients in these smoothies are freeze-dried and flash-frozen to lock in all of the good stuff. There's absolutely no artificial additives or refined sugars, and all I have to do is mix them with cold water if I'm in a pinch. It's so super easy. Kenko also offers a 60-day nutrition coaching program that's valued at $300 for free with your monthly subscription. And this program isn't one of those restrictive experiences. Believe me, I am so against that after being so involved in diet culture for so long. I wouldn't be sharing it if it was. It very much embodies the principles that I grew to believe in my eating psychology course that take into consideration how our beliefs and emotions affect our eating habits. We all need different things, and this program is tailored to your individual habits and lifestyle. So when you sign up, you can choose from 20, 30, or 60 smoothie packets monthly. You can cancel or skip a month whenever, and they always send you a heads up email a few days before your build again, so you can change your flavor choices whenever. I love that because sometimes I forget and I need to skip a month, and it's just so nice to have that reminder. This really is an amazing company, and as a certified eating psychology coach with loads of healing from diet culture under my belt, I highly recommend it. You can try it out and get $20 off your first month by clicking the referral link in the show notes of this episode. I know you're gonna love it. Now, back to the message. So the basic lesson here for me, it's the biggest lesson I think I've learned in my life, is that we can't just slap a Band-Aid on a gaping wound and call it good. And unfortunately, the majority of us have some pretty deep wounds. Just being human on this earth right now that is full of sin is enough. But then you add in, you know, personal traumas, personal experiences, toxic belief systems that we've gotten from the world and the generations before us, our first teachers, just anything that has shaped who we see ourselves as and how we see the world, that causes a lot of wounding. And we don't have a lot of support to deal with all of that. And so we look at the world and we look at the way the world operates. And this is so interesting to me, and this is what I started to learn back then, was everything most things are treated at symptom level. So you think about things like anxiety and depression, which a lot of that is actually because of traumas that we have from childhood or whatever it might be, or feeling alone in the world, not feeling like you fit in, being on social media all the time and feeling like we're supposed to compare ourselves because that's what society tells us. All of this is what contributes to depression and anxiety. And yes, some of it is physiological. And yes, just with all of this, please know that if you take medication for any of this stuff, this is not shaming you. Not at all whatsoever. I think it's great. I think it helps a lot of people and it's wonderful. But I think a lot in our Western culture, I think a lot of this stuff, when we look at things like anxiety and depression or, you know, high blood pressure or high cholesterol, whatever it might be, it ends up being a matter of slapping a pill on it rather than taking time with each patient and getting down to what might be the cause of it. Because for some people, it is genetic, it is physiological, and it does require medication, but for a lot of people, that's not the case. There are a lot of people taking medication that don't need to be taking medication. And furthermore, there are a lot of people taking medication that could also benefit from support and resources that go deeper than that symptom level treatment. It's the same thing with diet culture. Obviously, this one hits so close to home for me, and this is what I learned. This was like my starting place for learning how the world operates at surface level. Okay, let me ask you this question. Have you ever seen somebody who had been quote unquote overweight and you see them 6 months later and they had lost a bunch of weight? What is your immediate reaction? For most of us, it's, wow, good for them. And we have that thought, which is natural because of what we've been taught, because of our belief systems. The problem is that it's not followed up with, I wonder why they lost that weight. And there's no real desire to understand why. It's usually just a celebration. Sometimes we ask how they did it, but it's never, why did you lose weight? Or we don't even think that to ourselves. And so the problem ends up being that a lot of times when we celebrate something like weight loss, what we end up doing is inadvertently celebrating an eating disorder. Maybe that person lost weight because they hate themselves so much. They developed an eating disorder to get the kind of body that society or their partner or whoever is telling them they need. Or we're inadvertently celebrating their abusive marriage. Maybe they lost a bunch of weight because they got into a marriage that's abusive and they're so stressed out they can't eat, or they're so stressed out their body is just naturally losing weight. But these are things we don't think about. And then also people that struggle with anxiety and severe depression. A lot of times we just take people's smile as, okay, they're good. As long as they're smiling, they're good. And unfortunately, a lot of times if somebody is struggling with depression and they voice that, we don't want to be inconvenienced by having to deal with the negativity. So we do things like, well, I'll pray for you, keep your head up, where really what that person needs is to be sat with or hugged. And then we just feel like as long as they're smiling, okay, everything's good. And then even, you know, seeing their posts on social media, you know, and I'm talking about this because this actually happened last year. I had a friend that had struggled with depression for a very long time, and he was a drug addict, and he did some amazing things to overcome that addiction. And then he fell back into it, and he was posting on social media. He had just gotten a drone. Everything seemed great. And the next day, he committed suicide. But what we see on the outside is what we pay attention to. And that is the problem in our culture. We are a world that is hyper-focused, especially our country, on how things look. As long as things look good, they are good. Think about anything. Obviously, something that comes to mind is our bodies. our appearance. As long as the girl looks good, she must be an amazing woman. As long as the guy looks good, he must be a good man. As long as the person is smiling, they must be okay. It's just, it's crazy to me. And this is what I've learned over the last 4.5 years. This is something that I've been so passionate about. And this is 1,000,000% the enemy. You know that, right? Satan wants to keep us focused on the surface level and distracted by the superficial, so we don't get to the root of our problems. Because if we get to the root of our problems, we start to learn who we actually are. Furthermore, if we start to dig and we start to want to know more about what's going on underneath, a lot of us end up finding Jesus, and he doesn't want that. So he keeps us at surface level, and he is working overtime right now. And that includes the Roe v. Wade situation. This is as bold as I'm going to get with this. Like I said in the last episode, I believe all lives are God-breathed. All of us are created by God, even before conception we're thought of. But the celebration of something that is only being addressed at a surface level, that is nothing to celebrate. We should never celebrate anything unless we're actually getting to the bottom of it, to the root of it. I think of, you know, being on the farm, I was thinking about this the other day. I think about plants and trees, and I was actually hedge trimming a bunch of trees out of the blueberries that we have at the farm. And it's just so crazy how if you only trim them above the root, they come back the next year. The only way something will die is if you pull it up by the root. So this is why I struggle celebrating decisions like this. It looks good on the surface to a Christian because it lines up with what the Bible says. But the problem is there are going to be dire consequences that harm lives, whether this particular thing is overturned or in effect, because we're not dealing with it at the source. We're not dealing with it at the root. And when we deal with something at the root, that is the only time I'm going to celebrate. And I think the celebration for the surface level, this looks great, it's hurting a lot of people and it's causing a lot of division. And that is going to continue to foster what the enemy is doing to us. This is why we continue to become more and more divided, you know, especially the church, because when we read the word from a heart and mind that can only see humans and human problems from a superficial level, we end up interpreting the Bible the same way. We can only understand the word of God as deeply as we understand ourselves, our behaviors, our belief systems, and how the world, our experiences, and our first teachers have shaped them. I keep coming back to the crucifixion of Jesus, how the chief priests, the religious leaders, they tried for the entirety of Jesus's ministry to figure out a way to stop him. They were threatened by him and the way he loved people. They were threatened by his humility and gentleness and willingness to sit and listen to people that weren't highly regarded in the eyes of the religious law. They were threatened by his willingness to understand and be with people. Eventually, it led to their getting the governing authority involved. They had no basis for arrest, and Pilate knew it, but they yelled loud enough in big enough numbers that it swayed his decision. It's interesting how when the religious leaders realized they couldn't get the job done themselves, they turned it over to the government to do their dirty work and then celebrated when the government made a decision that supported their agenda. These are just things we have to think of. And again, this is not condemning anybody. Another thing I think about with the crucifixion is Luke 23:34, when Jesus says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Something that I've been saying for a long time is we are all working at our own level of awareness. I mean, I'm sure you can think back on a time where you thought something, like you genuinely with your mind and your heart thought something was good, and now you realize, wow, that wasn't at all what I thought it was. And this is why I keep going back to Romans chapter 14. I just think this is such a powerful chapter in Romans to meditate on during all of this, just remembering that we're all at our own level of awareness. We're all working at our own level of spiritual growth, and we have to treat each other accordingly. We can't expect other people to be where we are. We have to know that we're not where other people are, and it needs to be okay. And it must be true because Jesus spoke those words. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Jesus understood that we're all living at our own level of awareness. And no matter how much in his ministry he tried to correct these people, he could not get them to understand. So please remember that the world, or Satan, celebrates appearance and discourages deep relationships with our spiritual selves. He discourages a connection to God, and he discourages deep, meaningful relationships with other people. The world thrives off of making it look like we are succeeding by keeping us focused on the surface. We just put band-aids on everything with no interest in figuring out where the wound even came from. I don't think Jesus dealt in band-aids. If you look in the Bible and you look at all of his miracles and all of the places where it describes him healing people, he wasn't just healing people on the surface. The woman with the issue of blood, he didn't just slap a bandage on wherever she was bleeding from and call it good. No, he healed her fully. He, capital H, healed her, because he knew that slapping a bandage on a gaping wound or an issue that is coming from within is useless, and that carelessness without fail will always lead to worse consequences. And another example of Jesus healing somebody in the Bible, there are several, but this one comes to mind. It's John 4, 46 through 51, I believe, and it's the Amplified version. I like this version because it says something that the other versions don't say that I think is really important, but it says, so Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine, and there was a certain royal official whose son was sick in Capernaum. Having heard that Jesus had come back from Judea to Galilee, he went to meet him and began asking him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, unless you, people, see miraculous signs and wonders, you simply will not believe. The royal official pleaded with him, sir, do come down at once before my child dies. Jesus said to him, go, your son lives. The man believed what Jesus said to him and started home. As he was already going down the road, his servants met him and reported that his son was living. And this is what the Amplified Bible says that the others don't. And was healthy. His son was living and was healthy. Think about that. Jesus, when he healed, made sure that the person he healed was fully restored and healthy. And that is the case in all of his miracles. And I believe that when Jesus left us, he left that responsibility to us to heal people in his name. And while it may not look the way that it did when Jesus did it, it may not be full restoration. We touch somebody because we believe in Jesus and they're healed. I do believe that that happens. But I believe for the rest of us, he wants us to actually care about where the issue is coming from and speak into the person there. That is what I believe. And it's just been my experience and the wisdom that I've gained these past 4.5 years that have made me believe that that's true. So let's think about this today. I really want to encourage you to start thinking below the surface. Maybe start becoming more aware of things that we might be celebrating, that we might be dealing with at a surface level, and how not getting to the root could be affecting you or the people around you. It's just something to think about. No condemnation. We're all doing the best we can with what we know, right? We have belief systems that have been ingrained in us by the world and by our circumstances, by our traumas. We have a certain way we see the world because of these things. So there's no shame. There's no guilt. There is no condemnation in Jesus. All of this is just to make us more aware and to be able to self-reflect so we can be more mindful and we can walk this world a little with a little more grace and a little more mercy, a little more love and kindness and compassion for ourselves and for the people around us. Jesus died for you to be seen for who you are as a child of God in spite of your sin. That's what he wants for you. That's what he wants for me. That's what he wants for everybody. But it is our responsibility to get to a place where we can do that for ourselves, so we can see that perspective, so we can accept that mercy and love into our lives, and so we can share it with other people. That's all for today. Thank you, as always, for listening. And hey, if you don't mind, would you do me a favor and rate, review, and share this message with somebody if you feel like it hit home, so we can get these messages out to more people? And also, you can go over to lovestandshere.com if you want to check out my blog posts. And also, if you would like to contact me, if you have any questions or comments, or you would like to be a guest on the podcast, you can head on over there. You can also follow me at love_stands_here. On Instagram. I hope you have a great week. I love you, and I will talk to you next week. Bye.